to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
Bibles, if you can open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you notice the back of your bulletin, there's a place to keep notes. I would encourage you, whether I say anything decent or not, that you, any scripture that might be mentioned, I can promise you that it's good. So if you write it down and then you can go back over it through the week and just see what the Lord would speak to you about. Lynn, thanks again for all the scriptures this morning. I was writing them down, even though like so many of them are familiar, but to be able to go through again and just see that base of the gospel, and it's just so good. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Today, we're going to be talking about intimacy with God. If you notice, that is one of our core foundations of this church. And what we realize is that we have grace stories, spiritual giftedness, connecting lives, stewardship lifestyle, that if intimacy with God is not there, nothing else can happen. It's the very foundation of who we are. And God's been kind of dealing with me on some things. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Sorry, Chronicles. Thank you. Chapter 7, verse 14. Did anyone turn to Corinthians before? It's 7:14. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, those that are very good with details, I appreciate it. I really do. It's funny, in PA school, I learned two ways to get through. Be really, really good at details. Or surround yourself with people that like you, that are really good with details. And they got your back. And so it's good. So someday when I'm in practice, I'll need a really good nurse. Okay. Moving on, 2 Chronicles, verse chapter 7, verse 14. Starting with verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I've heard your prayer, and this was during the dedication of the temple, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, and my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. You know, I've heard a lot of talk of our nation and the state of our nation. I wanted to start this morning by reading from an awesome book. It's called The Prayers of Peter Marshall. He was the Senate chaplain in 1947 to 1949. I want to read some of the prayers that were prayed on the Senate floor for our country. Forgive us, O God, for all our boasting and our presumptuous sins of pride and arrogance, for these are days that humble us. By thy grace, we become more and more aware of our limitations and our weaknesses. Let us not mistake humility for an inferiority complex, but help us to understand that with the proud and the self-sufficient, thou canst do nothing until thou hast brought them to their knees. We need thy help, our Father, and we seek it humbly. We want to do right and to be right, so start us in the right way, for thou knowest that we are very hard to turn. Shed forth thy grace upon us, O Lord, that each man here may say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We ask it in his name. Amen. Another one. O Lord of our life, we would know thee better, that we might love thee more and thus be more useful to our fellow men. Make us hungry for thy spirit and thy power. Let thy grace come upon us, that the will of our God may be known to us and done through us. Let us not break faith with any of yesterday's promises, nor leave unrepaired any of yesterday's wrongs. Show us what we can do to make this world a better place for men to live in, that the down payment made by 300,000 of our men may not have been made in vain. May the urgency of the world's need remind us that promises do not feed the hungry nor resolutions give them shelter. May we be willing to act when thou shalt show us what to do. We join our hearts in this prayer for thy guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. I could go on. 1947, prayers prayed in the Senate. And I'm not here to talk about our country today. I'm here to talk about you and I. Because so often I've heard over the last weeks people talking about the state of our country, our election, all that stuff. I'm not talking about that today. But all I know is that scripturally, whenever there was a situation in a country, we see things going on in our country all around the world. God's word always brought the focus back to the leadership of God's people and to the people of God. He always brought it back and said, what are you going to do? And this morning, I believe that God has, I know he's challenged me to renew my dependence on him like never before. I told you we're going to talk about diabetes today. Diabetes is a crazy disease. The thing about diabetes is it's when the body loses the ability to handle, say, the glucose that comes in our body. The insulin doesn't work properly, type 2 diabetes. And so the very thing that's supposed to give us energy ends up not being able to be processed properly and used in the cells, and it causes the blood sugar to go up in the blood. There's many effects of this on the body. But so often, someone can have this disease for years and have no idea that they have it. If they haven't gone to a doctor, if they haven't got their blood tested, if the sugar hasn't gone way high, they have no idea that they have it. But if someone has had this for years and their blood sugar has stayed high, all of a sudden it starts impacting the body in different ways. Sometimes it affects the eyes. Sometimes it can affect the feet. It can affect sensation. It can affect the way that the stomach digests food. Because blood vessels go everywhere in the body. And so the damage on the inside eventually causes damage on the outside unless it's handled on the inside. And this morning, I really believe that God would like to be the great physician in our spiritual lives this morning. And to help us to notice those areas maybe on the outside and see that they are pointing inwardly to the disease that is ravaging so many Christian lives. It's ravaging our nation and nations around the world, and it's this disease of self-sufficiency. See, I remember so many times, I remember coming to Jesus when I was 15 and being overwhelmed by how awesome he was, and just, I had never heard really about Jesus. I grew up going to Catholic church where I was told, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. I was a moral person. But I never read the Bible. I didn't know what was going on. And then I saw a guy came to our Catholic church speaking of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I was like, wow, this is something I never heard of. And I saw my mom come to Jesus, and it was incredible. And I was like, wow, this is something different. I started reading the Bible, and at 15, I came to Jesus Christ, and I surrendered my life to him. And it was like, this was all I had. I realized intimacy with God was all it was about. I needed him. That's what I knew. I needed him. I needed him. I needed him. And then as time goes on, the natural process of this disease of self-sufficiency is that I began still reading the Bible, still praying, but just going through the motions. And it seemed that way so often in so many ways as I go through life. I remember when my wife and I moved to Thailand. We're moving everything. We have to get everything in 4 bags. God, we depend on you. We cry out to you. Lord, without you, we have nothing. Jesus, if you do not move, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to eat. We don't know where we're going to sleep. We don't know what's going on. It came all back to intimacy with God. And we were right where he needed us to be. And God moved in powerful ways. And then, 1.5 years into ministry, God has proven himself over and over and over again. And I find myself going to the youth center that God opened. And, well, yeah, I can talk to some people about Jesus. I'd open my Bible, pray a little bit. But I lost that. And the disease of self-sufficiency began rising up. And there's a prayer that I've prayed my entire life ever since knowing Jesus, and it's this: Lord, give me no rest when I'm away from you. And he has held me to that, and I'm very thankful. Because it's like the symptoms of my disease seem to come out a lot quicker, maybe, because of that prayer. That when I begin walking in self-sufficiency, I have some symptoms on the outside, whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether all these things begin to come. But all the while, it's speaking of that very core disease that is ravaging so many of us, and it's that disease of self-sufficiency. And it is the natural state of us as humans. And this morning, I believe that God just wants to remind us of one thing. We need him. Diabetes is interesting because one thing it affects is our vision. Someone who's had diabetes for a while, all of a sudden they'll start having difficulty seeing some things because it affects the blood vessels in the eye. Spiritually, when we do not address that disease of self-sufficiency in our hearts, all of a sudden we can lose our vision. We begin to get distracted by everything and anything else around us, and we lose sight of the one thing that we're called to fix our eyes on, and that's Jesus Christ. Write down the scripture. You can look it up later. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Many of you know it. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's simple, but it's so easy to lose sight of that one thing. This morning, how is our vision? Have our eyes been fixed just on Jesus? Or is it Jesus and other things? See, we got to be honest with ourselves, and that's really where God has had me at a place this week. And it's very simple, very short message. I always say that. But it's so easy to not see really what's happening in our lives. It's easy to miss the symptoms. And this morning, how is our vision? Because when we get focused on him and he is everything, all of a sudden everything else is meaningless. I remember when we came to Charlotte. It was, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him everything. Now that we've been settled here, it's so easy to begin thinking about this thing, or maybe buying this thing, or when I had my first child, I remember, God, I can't be a dad. Lord, help me, help me. Well, after a few years, you know, you figure things out. You start getting used to it. I got this. But we lose sight of the one thing that we need to focus on. Another thing that diabetes does to the body: sensation is lost. One of the tests we do is we pull out a little monofilament, a little like a piece of fishing line is what it is. And people that have had diabetes for a while, maybe uncontrolled, we take their foot, we pick it up, and we say, now close your eyes and tell me when you feel this. And begin touching the bottom of their feet. And it's always a sad moment when you're touching the bottom of their feet and you hear nothing, because they've lost sensation. In the same way in the spiritual realm, when that disease of self-sufficiency, which we don't see happening in us, it's very hard to see, all of a sudden we lose sensitivity to the Lord and we lose sensitivity to the world around us. That very same nerve problem that happens in the feet happens in the stomach sometimes, where food gets stuck in the stomach and can't come out because it doesn't contract properly. The Word of God, you know, someone who is living in self-sufficiency they can memorize the entire Bible and it has no meaning because it's simply words on a page. It's like us eating. It's a man with rampant diabetes eating and the food gets stuck in the stomach. Can't get out, can't get to the intestines. And then when it finally does, hours later, it's been so eaten up by the acid that you don't get very much nutrients from it. The same thing spiritually. When God grabbed a hold of my heart in Thailand, I was reading a guy named Charles Finney, and he talked about when it was one day when he realized as he was reading the Bible that for weeks it would have been better if he never opened it up because he had read it as if it was nothing but words on a page. Because he had lost this. And so often we can see, oh, well, God's doing some cool stuff in my life. I'm maybe involved in some ministries. I got some things going on. We could have this. The amazing thing about the gifts of the Lord, he gives us gifts and talents and abilities. And we can oftentimes get so moving in this that we forget this. I could get up on a Sunday morning and preach a message based in this. Many times, sadly, when I have gotten up in front of different places preaching, this was what it was based on. I've got to preach, I'll preach. Like, you got to fix a car, fix a car. Do what you got to do. He's saying, but this is the foundation. And so often we can do this for a time. We can even give because, well, that's what you do. And we can live in this such a way and go for a time. But when we don't realize that we're walking in self-sufficiency, all of a sudden, eventually, the symptoms will come on the outside. We lose our sensitivity to the Word of God. When is the last time that you've opened the Word with a heart that says, God, speak to me. If I don't hear from you, don't let me get up from this place until I do. And look at me real close. I'm a busy guy. I know y'all are busy people. We are crazy busy in this life. And I'm not coming as somebody that has this together. Because first thing that pops in my mind, sadly, many days, is not, Lord, thank you for this life that you've given me as I get out of bed and I step on the ground. But it's, okay, I have to finish this and get this done and finish this. And before I know it, I've showered, I've brushed my teeth, and I'm like, what just happened? I'm heading out to the office. I don't even know what happened. And I realize it's because I'm neglecting this, and if I neglect that, it will eat me away from the inside, and eventually I'm going to lose my sensitivity to him. And I'm going to lose my sensitivity to the people around me. When's the last time that we've noticed those at the coffee shop that we're going to, right? We know, I love the fact, and we know when Shin preaches, he's going to mention the coffee shop, right? And I love it, right? It is what it is, right? And I bet you, if each one of you got up here and shared something, God would speak differently because of your background and what you've been in. But how many times, even if I'm going to get a cup of coffee, there's those days when I actually notice the person that's serving me and I have a heart that wants to be a blessing to them. Or when I pay and I notice the cup of coffee handed to me and I walk out the door. See, when that self-sufficiency, when we don't realize how much we need the Lord, all of a sudden we become insensitive to how much those around us need the Lord. And that, one of the greatest reasons that the church in general doesn't reach out, I'm not talking just here, I'm just saying in general around in America doesn't reach out more, is because we as individuals have lost this understanding of how much we need him. Because if I realize how much I need him, I still remember when I was in Thailand and we'd been there a year and a half and God had taken, he'd wrecked my heart and just had taken me through this whole time of repentance and and I opened the Word of God, and it was in this time of just renewing my dependency on Him. And I read this scripture in Romans, and it says, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And I had read that and didn't even think anything of it. When I read that night, it was like 1 a.m, and I read that. It was like a dagger hit my heart. And I was like, in my heart, nothing good dwells. And I'm weeping, and I'm snot running down my face, and I'm on the floor. And I'm like, God, that's what, it's nothing good. And you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I know, because to me at that moment, the Word of God came alive, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. And He had taken me through a process of being, renewing my dependency on Him, and then the Word became alive, and I could actually hear it. And I still remember, after that moment, going to others, have you ever read this? In my flesh, nothing good dwells. And they'd be like, yeah, okay, Matt, like, whatever you say. And I looked like a crazy man, and I realized that looking back. But that one word, one moment with the Lord, sustained me for months, because the Word became alive, and I was sensitized to it. But it was because God had broken me, and I knew I needed Him. How's your vision today? How's our sensitivity to Him or our sensitivity to others? Diabetes does another thing. I had a case when a guy came and he showed me his foot, and he had an ulcer about that big on it, red and real deep. And I was like, oh, how long you had this? He said, man, probably going on 2 years. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, but I can't take a day off work. I was like, oh, okay. It wouldn't have mattered what was done to that ulcer. He's tried antibiotic. He's tried changing the dressing. He tried everything. His diabetes was totally rampant. And so until that is controlled on the inside, you don't heal well. The disease of self-sufficiency, when we are not living with intimacy with God, we don't heal well. See, in Christ, there's forgiveness and the ability to forgive. But have you ever, I won't ask you or myself, we'll talk about other people because that's always safer. Have you ever met someone, right, where, you know, you're just having conversation and you may say something, right, and bam, they're offended and they are hurt. And you're like, What did I say? I didn't know. And they're hurt and they're angry. And you're like, what just happened? And they're saying, oh, you hurt me. Or they talk to other people more likely and said, he hurt me or she hurt me. And so often this happens again and again and again. And sadly, sometimes in the church it happens where, oh, she hurt me. She said this and he said this. The reality often is not that it's a new injury, but it's that we haven't healed well from something that was probably said 10 years ago. And they just happened to touch that spot because our disease that's in our heart of self-sufficiency has kept us from healing well. In Christ, there's perfect healing. And your past, my past, what we've done, what we've said, how we've been hurt or how we have hurt can be completely healed and we can be made whole. But that comes at the foot of the cross in intimacy with Him. Sometimes we go through a time even of healing where we've prayed and God has done a great work, but then He's done that, and so we live apart from Him, only to be surprised a year later when that same hurt rises up again. It's because we don't heal well. There was one of the best books that I ever read. It only takes about an hour, maybe hour and a half to read. It's called A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. If you get a chance to pick it up, you have to read it. It's Tale of Three Kings. It's just a look at David, Saul, and Absalom, David's son, and how they related to each other. And if you remember the story of David, he was anointed king to be king, and Saul was attempting to kill him. And he even got to a point where he chased David into the wilderness And at one point, David had a chance to kill Saul and be free of him and become the next king. And David said, I will not do it. I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed one. And there is a quote, and there was a time when Saul was throwing spears at David, trying to kill him, as David is trying to play the harp and make him feel better. Okay? So it's not even that David deserved this, it's just Saul was jealous and he's doing that. And there's a passage in this book, and it says this: you can easily know when you've been hit by a spear. You turn a deep shade of bitter. David never got hit. He gradually learned a well-kept secret. Never learn anything about the honorable, easily mastered art of spear throwing. Stay out of the company of spear throwers and keep your mouth tightly closed. In this way, spears will never touch you, even when they pierce your heart. When we are followers of Jesus, does it mean that we will never be hurt? Absolutely not. But when we are living with intimacy with Him, constantly spending time with the one who was hurt more than any of us ever would be, all of a sudden, we can heal quickly. Still, maybe caused pain, but we can do what the New Testament calls us to do, and that is to love our enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use us. That is not natural. And it's definitely not natural when we have self-sufficiency, when we are apart from Jesus Christ. It's impossible to do. But when we are daily connecting with Him and saying, Lord, I need You, and without You, I'm nothing, all of a sudden, through Christ, it's possible to live in that way. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. So many talk about him as his time when he was leading the civil rights, but many don't. I got an opportunity to listen to many of his sermons before he was even known. I got tapes years ago. Somebody gave them to me. And he understood an intimacy with God. It's the only way that he could then go and say, love your enemies. Natural does not do that. Supernatural does. See, are you with me? Tracking with me? It's something that God's been dealing with me on. And He's reminded me over and over and over again in my life. And the great thing is we have a gracious God that calls us back to Himself. I think the saddest thing that I've seen in my 3 long weeks of practice is great wisdom. Sits the 26-year surgeon right here, but what are you going to do? No. Is when a person with uncontrolled diabetes comes in and they have every one of these. I saw lost toes, lost feet, can't see. They'll be all right. Saddest thing so far was when I was doing one of the filament tests and hang on now. God just taught me something this morning. Ready for this? So I'm checking for the feeling on someone's foot. And I said, okay, let me know when you feel this. Put it on. Nothing. Then I wait. Oh, yeah, okay, there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, good, felt that one. They didn't want me to know they couldn't feel. How often do we do that to the Lord? I'm good. My life's good. All we have to do is look at people around us, feel better about ourselves, and we feel fine. But the reality is that so often when I look at the symptoms in my own life, oh God, my eyes aren't fixed on You. Check. I've become desensitized to Your word and to those around me. Check. I'm still dwelling on what that person said about me. Don't heal well. Check. Maybe there's something going on in me. And I need to come for the great healer to heal the disease of self-sufficiency that's running rampant in my body and in my spirit. And so, we're going to end with this. I remember growing up and hearing about a guy, in the name of Jimmy Swagger, and had a big ministry and then fell. I heard there's always, we've all heard either of a preacher or a ministry or somebody who walked with the Lord for a time and then all of a sudden, bam, just fell. Every one of those situations, they always talk about, wow, it was sudden. What happened? All of a sudden, they're all preceded by many symptoms of a disease of self-sufficiency before that final moment comes that everyone thinks of. You know what else diabetes does? It affects the heart, because blood vessels are everywhere, and the heart too. And one of the professors that I have, a doctor, he always would tell us, and he specializes in type 2 diabetes. All his patients, actually, won't take a patient unless they're very difficult control type 2 diabetes, because he feels that's his ministry. And he said, if someone with bad type 2 diabetes, if I did not treat them properly and have discussions with them and try to get that under control, and then they have a heart attack, he said, it's my fault. He said, because I knew what was happening inside, even though they may not have. Because the natural result of years of that is effect on the heart. Now, if you're here with diabetes this morning, praise God. Because I just thought of that. Oh, dear. Sorry. No, but seriously, that's why the nice thing about it, we look at the blood and physically we treat the symptoms and get the disease down. So it doesn't do all that. But back to the spiritual, so be encouraged. But back to the spiritual. It hits all those areas, but it's hitting the heart. And so often, it's if we noticed the other symptoms and we dealt with the heart disease, the core disease that's ravaging the body, it can be prevented. This morning, you may not have committed adultery on your wife. But you know that you've slid just a little bit in thought life or something. You may not have turned your back on Christ, but you know that I'm not spending time with him. He's not even on my radar. You may be here this morning and have those symptoms. And God says, this day, come to me, get renewed. Let's bow our knee before the foot of the cross and say, I need you. I speak as a guy that's been taken through this process over and over and over again. And I bet you 5 more years from now, I'm going to be the same place, because it's the natural disease of humanity. It's the flesh. And he's saying, bring it to the cross. And allow me to renew this. Because I don't care how many great stories we have of his past works in our lives. Only you and I know this morning if this is right. I don't care how much spiritual giftedness we have, that we have been able to teach or preach or fix things or work computers or whatever. And how much God has blessed us in that area. Only we know if this is right. I don't care how much we've given to the poor. I don't care how much we have surrendered and gone on mission or whatever. Only we know, and God, if this is right. And when this is right, all of a sudden, the healing can come. And it can not only come in our lives, but we can be agents of healing to those around us. But church, we got to remember this. Because without this, we have nothing.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.